When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Text anytime 0487 736 736 right across Western Australia. You're listening to The Run Home with Hayes and Marto.
Yes, get more service and satisfaction at Morley Kia. We've had a text come through from Carlos. Good day, boys. Patrick Voss was a bit unlucky, I thought. So now Jai Amos needs to lift. I think he's been a little underwhelming this year. Voss brings more of a blue-collar work rate. Well, it's the first time that we'd seen Patrick Voss, and he played a pretty good game. It was an open game. The forward line seemed to operate pretty well. But this is Jai Amos. He kicked 41 goals last year, and I think they're pretty keen, the Dockers, to have a look at Tracy and also Jackson. Triple J, I like to call him.
Triple J.
Josh Jackson. Working together to see how it goes. But Voss, unlucky, but he'll be better for the run. And no doubt, if there is an injury concern or form fluctuations, he'll come into the team at some stage.
We're talking about players, young players, and GP from Basso, our Bassendean way, says, Pete, the young guys are still playing, even if it's in the reserves. If they're good enough, they will get an opportunity in the AFL. So there you go. That's from GP. Give us what your thoughts are. It's a Friday free-for-all here on The Run Home. Peter Vlahos in for Damian Martin. We've got Hayes here, the regular, one of the pillars. 0487 736 736.
Let's take a listen to what Justin Longmuir had to say about Fremantle's depth.
Yeah, and I think the structure of our team and making sure that we play the same system and the players are playing the same role down at Peel has been really important for that. Vossi came in and played the same role. So there's some familiarity there. We're not asking him to do anything different. So that helps. And, yeah, we're building some competition for spots, which is critical if you want to be a good team. So, it's tracking well at the moment. Probably not talk about it too much. It's probably just the players that haven't played there. I'm not sure how many of our players and played there. We played there late last year against Hawthorn. So a lot of our boys have played footy there. So we understand, the hostility of the crowd there. And we understand that everyone, wants to end up playing there at the end of the year. So we don't take it for granted, the opportunities we get to play there. We enjoy playing there. And we think we've played there well in the past. And the dimensions don't really mean that much different because Optus is pretty wide and play the same sort of footy at both grounds. It's just, probably the familiarity.
Justin Longmuir there talking about the MCG, but let's get Jimmy Williams in for a sports update.
The champ is here! The champ is here! Yeah.
Welcome to you, Jimmy.
Good afternoon, Hayes and Pete. Good to be with you. Gee, big showdown last night, wasn't it?
You enjoyed that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I thought it was a good game of football.
Not the best.
I didn't think it was the best game.
It was a
frustrating game to watch because you're just waiting for Port Adelaide. They had so much of the football, and talk about butchering it. It was just
as you looked out the door, talking about butchering it. It's Kevin Sheedy, Peter.
Yes, and he's on the phone. He's been ushered on by a couple of security people.
Mr. Wave Jacket himself.
There's no one around here, Sheedy. You'll be fine, mate.
I'll be waving the scarves on Saturday night if the West Coast fans got the message from the CEO, Don Pike. So let's hope we see a good game of football. Yeah, I didn't mean a good game of football in the sense it was a good game between two, elite teams. But the fact that Adelaide have been pretty yuck, for lack of a better word, for the first sort of seven rounds, finally strung some footy together. Port Adelaide, like Pete said, they had a lot of inside 50s. They couldn't find someone to pop up and kick enough goals for them. And what it means, and there's going to be a logjam for 7th and 8th, and Adelaide will be there, and Collingwood will be there as well, and they play tonight, and Fremantle, if they can't find constant form, will be another team that will be battling there. So let's hope, for Fremantle fans' sake, that they can string wins together now in the early part so they can alleviate that logjam.
I'll tell you what's different this year compared to last year, where we had quite a number of contenders to play in that final game in September. You're talking about 7th and 8th. They're non-contenders. They'll get into the finals and they'll meekly fall out. There's only, at this stage, in my opinion, three, maybe four serious contenders. But there's two, you know, Geelong and GWS for me, and Sydney are up there. Melbourne just one out, one back, possibly. But there's not the contenders. You know, Collingwood, I'm not sure they're a contender this year.
Going to find out tonight, aren't
we? Yeah, Carlton, we'll have to wait and see. I'm not sure in the same league of... And we saw that last week. Geelong did what they needed to do to get over Carlton. So I just think whoever finishes in the bottom half of the eight, can I honestly say, are making up numbers.
Can we rule a line through Port Adelaide for the premiership?
Like, yeah, I think so.
Their form against the top eight teams for a long time now has been average, and now three in a row in the big showdown against Adelaide.
Like, you know, last night was... Everybody was looking forward to the showdown last night. We were looking forward to it from a spectacle point of view. We wanted a high-scoring cliffhanger, both teams going at each other. They had three goals, I think, at quarter time, Port Adelaide, and they finished with five. 5-18. Now, these are professional footballers, and, you know, you think with what they did, yes, I've never seen a side butcher a footballer as badly for a long time as Port Adelaide did last night.
Good call.
That's where we'll start the update. Let's start with Ken Hinckley, in case you missed it last night. He put his hand up and he took responsibility for their captain, Connor Rozee, hurting his hamstring. He was subbed off late in the 30-point loss last night. In case you missed it, here's what Hinckley had to say post-game.
Ken, the power of hindsight is a very powerful thing. Do you guys think you made a mistake playing Connor Rozee tonight?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, I made a mistake playing Connor Rozee tonight. That was clear. It was obvious. All the testing that we'd done, all the medical support we could get, all the information I could get was Connor was able to, and I seen it with my own eyes, he was actually able to run as fast as he needed to, kick as long as he needed to. But once fatigue set in tonight, that was clear, and, you know, you can be, I can try and hide behind that, but I'm not cowed when it comes to owning a mistake, and that was what it was.
So there are a lot of question marks around the fitness of Connor Rozee this week, but he was declared fit to play. He played.
Where's the mistake in that?
Well, he was subbed off with more hamstring awareness or an injury, whatever you'd like to call it.
But you can only put your players through their paces. And if you see it with your own eyes, I think they rolled the dice, took a slight risk, but they had all the information there, got through training, and they lost. Oh, I love that from him, and I love them for having a go because it was a big game. Who's the player that's going to come in below him? Is he going to have more than 15 disposals, which is what he had up until that point in the game? I had no issue with it. Big game, rolled it, didn't work this time, but... You used the information available, which at the time said he was right to go. How did you see it, Pete?
I agree, and I welcome Ken Hinckley's comments. In the end, you know, we say that very much, you know, sports science and the medical team have the final say of whether a player plays or not. Well, he's turned on his head. He was saying it was my call. I wanted him to play. I got the advice and I made the judgment. So that was good. It was refreshing for me to hear that a coach actually made the final judgment on a player.
Well, let's take a list of what Connor Rozee had to say today on his injury.
Yeah, it's clearly a little bit frustrating the way things panned out last night. I felt like my body was in a position to play. It's pretty simple. I got through all my testing. We put it through a pretty good range. I got up to sprinting and kicking long distance, but yeah, unfortunately, once the fatigue set in a little bit during the game, I just wasn't quite able to sustain it. Yeah, I'm taking full ownership. Like, I was ready to play. I felt like they asked me if I wanted to play. I clearly did. My body felt like I was in a position to do that. Clearly hasn't worked, and we'll have to reevaluate, and this will probably give me some good experience in the future with any other soft tissue injuries.
Got through all the testing. That's all you can do, I think, on any given week. Now what, though? Does he take 1 week or does he revert back to the standard hamstring strain? Even when he came back on after being off for a long period of time on the bench, he still was moving okay. So I'd probably think he'll miss at least 1 week this time.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think definitely he misses their next game because they got a trip down to Geelong next Friday night. So I wouldn't have thought he'd be playing.
No.
Given that they tried, and they got all the feedback that he was available. That's going to be a tough game, even with him in the team. So without him, you get him right, you give him 2 weeks. If it's not a hamstring tear, then you get him back ready for round 10.
They got Sydney at home next week. Port Adelaide are at home next week against the Sydney Swans. No, they're not. So you're right, Geelong. Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong thing.
We've got Geelong, and then they have a home game against Hawthorn, which is in a fortnight.
Yeah,
so you circle that one if you're Connor Rozee, which is also on a Sunday, so you give him a couple of extra days.
Sorry about that, Jimmy. I was looking at the wrong
fixture. That's okay. Hey, Pete, everyone makes mistakes.
My eyes are starting to leave me at this stage.
I know Hayes is probably not one that makes many, but we all make mistakes, and that's okay. And we just live and we keep going.
Isaac Rankin doesn't make many mistakes. Some of his goals last night. A
couple of great goals last night.
Three goals, four the week before. He's exactly the player the Fremantle Dockers need to add to their team. If there's another Isaac Rankin out there that you can get within the draft, they need to try and manoeuvre themselves to get a player like
that. He had a slow start to the season, but people were questioning him a bit early on, but now he's in full stride, isn't he?
And it's taken a while too. He went to Gold Coast, I think, for about 3 years. He's probably up to, year five or six now, so it hasn't come easy for him, but he's a gun of the competition. And if they do have success, the Adelaide Crows, it's going to be on the back of him and Jake Soligo. Now, this isn't new to me. He's been improving every single week. He's now one of their best midfielders. And Adelaide, I think, had been crying out for some more midfielders because they're a bit same. Laird, of course, we saw Sloan retire. He's almost like a clone of Sloan with the way that he attacks the footy. 10 tackles on the weekend. You've got Crouch there and you've got Dawson. Just somebody else to do a bit of the grunt work to allow the others to go to work. I think he's been a real find for them.
He was there, believe it or not, their sub in round one when they lost to the Gold Coast Suns up on the Gold Coast by a goal. So he won't be the sub again. And early take it or leave it, Hayes, I think he might be getting that number 9 from Rory Sloan.
Is that right?
Well, that's what I would assume.
What number does he have now?
14.
Pretty good number.
I think he's 14.
Yeah, but the number 9 might look a little bit better. And his form the last 6 weeks has been really, really good. So I know Kane Corns was strong on it at the time. They just gave him a contract extension. And then in the first game of the season, or in round one, Adelaide have made him their sub.
He got a long extension, didn't he? And we all sort of raised our eyebrows to say, hang on, what are you doing here? But they were onto it.
Victorian kid playing in Adelaide. He spoke about it last night, about how much he loved being around the players that he is around at Adelaide. And I just love the post-game interview where he spoke about having the medal in his jocks because he didn't want to lose it while he was doing a lap of honour, high-fiving all the fans.
Just regarding that game, Tony from Vic Park's been on the text machine 0487 736 736. Hayes, Pete and Jimmy, what do you think of Charlie Dixon's form? I think he gives too many free kicks away in the forward line and looks very slow. Your thoughts?
He was good the week before.
He was a frustrated forward last night.
But he was the best player the week before, but I think that's what they're going to get. And can you win a premiership and go deep with a forward line, with a player like that that's ageing? We've seen it a bit with Geelong and Tom Hawkins, but Charlie Dixon's not Tom Hawkins. He's probably a rung below his capacity. I think it's going to be a challenge to see how they manage that. They've got Todd Marshall. They'd want a bit more out of Georgiades. Let's hope he's okay with the knock. But he's had a really good return, Georgiades. But at some point,
he looked, his decision-making was a bit off last night, I reckon, Mitch Georgiades. At times, he just looked like, what do I do with it? Where do I go? I reckon there was a bit of confusion in the Port Adelaide lineup last night as well.
Do you think it's getting towards the end for Charlie? Like, could this be the end?
Could be. It could be his last season. But he seemed like a frustrated forward last night. And to be fair, the way the ball was being delivered, it was junk stuff that was coming inside the attacking 50 for Port Adelaide last night.
Three big men, Hayes. So Charlie Dixon, Todd Marshall, Mitch Georgiades, they all play as if they're key position players. So we look at Fremantle and we speak about their forward line out west a lot, where you've got Jai Amos, Josh Tracy. You know, they've got Matt Taberner now and Patrick Voss, who we know, in case you missed it, Voss is out this week and Jai Amos is back. Sometimes three at that size, where they all play really big, it can be too many, can't it? Am I off?
I think you want three, but they've got to complement and they've got to be slightly different from one another.
I think that's my point. Yeah. I think they all play very similar, where they're all leading marking forwards. Georgiades has that athleticism, which makes him a little bit different, but Todd Marshall was straight up and down.
Well, I think he's dropped down a little bit too, Todd Marshall. I reckon a year or two ago we probably thought, here we go, Port Adelaide found another one, 50, 60 goals plus. He sort of just plateaued a little bit with his own career.
Injured last night, finished with one goal, one Todd Marshall. There is a story going around this afternoon, and I guess it's kind of obvious that this has happened. Obvious, probably not the right word, but the AFL have effectively stepped in to block Wayne Carey from being elevated to legend status in the New South Wales Hall of Fame.
That's on tonight at the SCG.
A gala dinner tonight.
In the noble room there.
He was inducted into the Hall of Fame itself back in 2010. In a statement that the Herald Sun received from the AFL, it says, The AFL acknowledged the decision by a committee of New South Wales football industry people to recognise Wayne Carey's contribution on the football field as part of 100 inaugural inductees in the New South Wales Hall of Fame. But it's not going to go to legend status tonight, and that's because the AFL are forefront of what is an anti-domestic violence campaign this weekend. We're seeing all clubs involved at the start of the game. We saw it last night where the players, the umpires and the coaches are in a circle pre-game to try and send this message to people that maybe aren't getting it, that domestic violence isn't okay.
Yeah. So saying that, and then the AFL and all the clubs are talking about Tarryn Thomas 24 hours ago, and had it not been this week, would Wayne Carey have been elevated?
And where
to
was the AFL announcing this? They would have known this a long time ago.
Unbelievable.
But because you show this support, which I appreciate, but, you know, you've got to have consistency.
Honestly, they are the most reactionary organisation I have ever come across. They just react. They're not proactive. And that's example what's happened here today. If it was in 3 months down the track towards the end of the season and we didn't have the social issues that we're discussing now, would it be elevated? 25 of the 100 will be elevated to legend status, I believe, tonight.
And to his credit, I think Wayne Carey took a call from Andrew Dillon where he rang him and said, mate, I don't think it's the right thing. I think he agreed and said it's probably going to take the focus off what is a very important night. And they are important nights, those Hall of Fame nights. So, yeah, it's an interesting time. What does it mean, boys? I'll throw it out to both of you in time. And it was spoken about a couple of weeks ago in regards to Ben Cousins and his elevation into the AFL Hall of Fame.
I don't reckon it's too far away because there's mounting PR and public pressure to get him in there. You know, every article you read is the pros of why Ben Cousins should be in the AFL Hall of Fame. It's not very far away. It might even be in the next level of inductees. I wouldn't be surprised. And the fact that he's visible, he's doing stuff in media now, he's doing stuff in relation to community work. He'll be front and centre at Telethon in October when Channel 7 put Telethon. He'll be out there with the kids at schools and fundraising. I reckon that's all going to sort of be the groundswell of support to get him in there.
I'm with Pete. I think the ultimate thing here, Hayes and Pete, is that I think everyone deserves a second chance. And I know in the case of maybe Tarryn Thomas, he's had more than a second chance. So park that to one side. But this is just about timing, I think, for Wayne. And well done to Andrew Dillon for actually making that phone call by all reports. So
Tough call to make.
It would have been a really hard conversation. But I am with Pete. I think Ben has gone away. He's got his life back on track. He's trying to prove to people that he is a changed and a different person to the one that had all those issues all those years ago. And I think he probably does deserve a spot.
And he did say to me, I remember doing, and I think I've brought it up, a function with him some weeks ago, and he was saying, Pete, I'm very lucky. I said, what do you mean? He says, some people sometimes don't have a second chance in life. I've had a fourth, fifth, sixth chance in life. So it's not in any way dismissive of the fact that he's a very lucky human being.
Meantime, some good news for the Hawthorn Football Club today. They've named a debutant, a name that you two will be very familiar with, I reckon. The son of 1991 Norm Smith medalist Paul Deer, Kalsha.
Deer,
great memories.
Will make his debut for the Hawthorn Footy Club. He's been impressive since he joined the club, playing in the VFL. Father-son selection in last year's draft. Unfortunately, Paul passed away back in 2022 with a pancreatic cancer battle. However, he'd be looking down proud on his boy, Kalsha, to debut for the Hawks this weekend. That's some good news out of Hawthorn, and they need some good news because they need to find these young guys, Hayes and Pete.
And also, Paul Deer won the Norm Smith medal in that grand final in 1991 as well. He was best on ground when they beat the West Coast Eagles at Waverley because of the reconstruction of the MCG.
Now, you guys mentioned this while you were speaking with Steve Allen moments ago in the first little bit of the show. If you missed it, download the podcast for all the latest on West Coast, Fremantle and Essendon. But you spoke about, will we ever see a player come out and say, well, no, I'm actually leaving Club Y and I'm going to Club Z.
Has it happened already?
No, it hasn't. It hasn't, Hayes. But the language of this story suggests that it probably will in the NRL. Now, it sounds to me as if Wayne Bennett is going to be the man that's going to be headhunted by the South Sydney Rabbitohs. He says he's keen to get his next coaching appointment wrapped up promptly, as the negotiations are beginning for a homecoming there. He's, of course, he is the coach of the Dolphins currently.
Final season.
How does that work?
Yeah, but it's his final season, and they've
but
already.
Still, but everybody still else has got a contract for a final season.
Yeah, but the Gold Coast Dolphins know that he and but Bennett's but done, done it before. Yeah. Bennett's done it before. You know, he's basically said, I'm finishing at the end of this season. The succession plan is in place and I'm moving on. I want to stay in rugby league.
We essentially saw it last year, I reckon, with Damien Hardwick. He hid behind the six-week holiday, but he knew he was going to that job.
No question, Hayes. I agree with you. Yeah. No question. And I think Damien Hardwick, and I don't know him, but I think it was a better lifestyle choice for him to go to the Gold Coast because of what happened also him personally.
And it was the right call.
Yeah.
It was the right call. When you're done with your team, move on. Go and that's the other question.
And that's the other question. Now, Wayne Bennett, I think, will be 74 next year.
He's currently 74.
74. Love coaching. What about AFL? You know, all of a sudden the appointments in AFL seem to be going younger and younger and younger. Could you imagine?
No.
A 70-plus-year-old coaching an AFL side. So why would it be any different to coaching an NRL side? Well, I reckon the dynamics are different, Tase, because there's different cultures in an NRL side. There's Polynesian players. There's players from New Zealand. There's players from Australia. There's the Indigenous players. It is a real smorgasbord of different cultures. The AFL is not as much. You know, there is, you know, Middle Eastern players playing rugby league, yet he's been able to master it, Wayne Bennett, at 74 years of age.
Yeah, because I think because he's been that legend, he's kept on going through. So he's like our equivalent of Mick Malthouse, equivalent of Kevin Sheedy, but they all had their time, didn't they? Where he's just been able to have success and keep on going.
Could Kevin Sheedy, how old's Kevin Sheedy now? I'll just Google it, actually. How old's Kevin Sheedy, Jimmy? You're pretty quick on this. Could Kevin Sheedy still be coaching in the AFL? Well, there's a question.
It could be.
We just saw him 10 minutes ago.
He's 76.
Well, there you go. So Bennett's 74, Sheedy's 76.
Mick Malthouse, if there was a job that'd come up.
Could they still be coaching in this day of AFL football? Now, you know.
Not in my opinion, no.
Why?
Oh, I think the game changes a little bit.
Yeah, but they change with the game. The rugby league's changed as well, and Wayne Bennett's changed with the game.
But did they like? Because Mick Malthouse tried. He went to Carlton, and it didn't work for him then. Now, if he had success right there and then you'd probably go, well, he can do it again.
So no one in the AFL or the old VFL there's ever been like, you'd have to say that Bennett, Wayne Bennett, is the best coach, club coach, in the history of the football codes here in Australia.
Yep.
With what he's achieved.
Yep.
And there's been no one that really can challenge him for that.
Not when you're still coaching at that age. Has he won recently? He hasn't won with the Dolphins, but
well, he took South Sydney to a
time since
to a grand. He took South Sydney to a grand final, but they got beaten.
What year was that?
A couple of years ago. I think it might have been 2021. Actually, 2021. He took them
before
there.
He took on the Dolphins.
And, I think it was 2021. No, then he left, and then Jason Demetriou took over, who was his sidekick, his right hand person. And as we know, Jason's now left.
Sheedy went to the Giants, and it's you can't give a realistic answer on whether it worked because it was a expansion team that was very young, and then of course Leon Cameron took over from him.
I'll throw you a name that I reckon got huge longevity in the game.
Mark Williams.
No. Okay. Chris Scott. I'll give you Chris Scott, who I reckon is one of the great thinkers in the game, understands people. Now Chris Scott is 48 years of age. I reckon Chris Scott, all being equal, could probably coach for another 20 years.
Yeah, but I reckon he'll walk away at 55.
He probably will, but I'm just saying there's no reason with what we've seen with Chris Scott and the ability and what he's done at Geelong that he could not. If he decided to finish at Geelong next year, there'd be one coach to say, come and coach us for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And when he leaves, there might be another one that says
Tassie will throw everything at him.
Yeah, so there you go. So I reckon Chris Scott is one that could probably be very senior when he finally gives it up.
I do wonder if we give up on senior coaches too quickly in the AFL. You know, like Mick Malthouse.
The stats are pretty
strong,
though. The stats are pretty strong. If you don't win a premiership within your first 7 years, you don't get one.
Yeah, they're hard to win.
Hard to win.
Ask St Kilda people.
They're pretty hard to win.
They're very hard to win.
Not many do it after their first 7 years.
So I'm being very generic here, but wouldn't you think someone that's been an AFL senior coach that's already done it once, would they be better the second time around?
Well, we're seeing it with Michael Voss. He's better the second time around. Brett Ratten, he coached your club. Was he better the second time around. I thought he was unlucky when he lost his position in the first place.
He wouldn't have lost his position to anyone else at St Kilda, apart from the man that is Ross Lyon.
Is Ross Lyon better the third time around? St Kilda, Fremantle, now St Kilda. By the way, Jimmy, I've got to throw this to you. Ask Jimmy, this is from Carlos, where's Tim Membry at the moment, do you think?
I think he's been below his best. I saw an article yesterday suggesting he's going to be a player that a lot of clubs are going to go after as a restricted free agent, I think. I think he's important to what St Kilda do. Anthony Caminiti, young second-year forward. Max King hasn't been able to stay on the park over a number of years due to injury. And so without him, we don't really have a big bloke to kick the footy to. So he's very important, and hopefully he stays at St Kilda, but that's all I know.
Lisa in Ellenbrook had some words to say. It was cut off, Lisa, so we apologise for that, but she basically says she disagreed with Sam Draper's comments and thought it was very disrespectful to other coaches and teams. Draper has been omitted from the team, supposedly with a sore knee. ? No, I think that is a sore knee. Port Adelaide were very poor last night. I don't think that Ken Hinckley should take all the blame for playing Connor Rozee. In my opinion, players know their own body, and Connor Rozee should have been honest about his hamstring injury and ruled himself out. You're opinions, please. Well, we've spoken about that at length. I was okay with it because he got through enough training, backed himself in. It just didn't work out on this occasion, but he'll be better for that experience. And we had one come through from Yoda in Busselton. Boys couldn't agree more with Hayes' comments regarding Rozee. Hinckley rolled the dice, didn't pay off. Not a mistake. Thank you, Yoda. Yeah. Appreciate that.
And just regarding the age of coaches, I think we were dismissive of the fact that Chris Fagan, who coaches the Brisbane Lions, is 62.
And is he going to get one?
I'm not sure now. I don't think so. Actually.
I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of the year.
And who would be the youngest?
What are you saying, Hayes? You wouldn't be surprised.
That he finishes.
Yeah, you go, mate, you've had a great run. You've been terrific for us. We couldn't quite get there, but we've just got to go. You know, with this group that are still in the window, we've just got to refresh and give
them another
chance.
Is there that many coaches around, you reckon, at the moment?
No, there's not. Adam Kingsley comes in.
Yeah, came out of to GWS.
Simon Goodwin came in, had success. Luke Beveridge had success pretty early.
See how Adam Uzay go now at Richmond trying to build them. But so who's the youngest coach in the AFL? I know
Craig McRae?
I know Justin Longmuir is 42. What would Craig McRae be? I'm just trying to think.
No, Craig McRae's way.
He's 50.
He's 50.
Okay. He's 50. So would Justin Longmuir will be the youngest at 42?
Yeah, I'd say so. And he's been at it for, this is what, year number 5.
So he started in his late 30s. So there you go.
Imagine if he coaches for the next 32 and gets to Wayne Bennett's age. Stays in the AFL system the whole time.
He'll have a lot of grey hair. I'll give you the tip.
Just quickly, it is, like you said, Hayes, massive fortnight for Brisbane. They've got the Gold Coast on Sunday, and then they've got to go to Adelaide and play the Crows. So it's a huge fortnight for the Brisbane Footy Club and Chris Fagan. Finally, before I get on out of here, NBA playoff results today. We have seen the end of two series. The Pacers got the job done over the Bucks, 120-98. They advance. So too do the Knicks. They beat the 76ers, 118-115. That sets it up. So the bracket, if it loads, it's loading, looks as if like this. The Knicks will play the Pacers in the semifinals, and the... If I go across to the other conference, it's not loading. But anyway, the Pacers...
Who do you like, Jim? Who do you like from here?
Denver.
It'll be Denver, yep.
Sadly, done.
Yep. Denver will win it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
This far out. No competition. Who do they beat?
Probably the Knicks.
There you go, Jimmy.
I think the Knicks, maybe.
Good for the Knicks. The Knicks have really struggled, haven't they, for a long time.
That'll be a fun series, the Knicks and the Pacers. Hopefully you get to 6 or 7 games, but... If it's not the Knicks, it's probably the Thunder that can get out of the East and beat Denver out
Does
the West.
Patrick Ewing still play for them?
The Knicks? No. For a very long time.
I don't think I've known anybody that knows the NBA better than this bloke. Am I right?
Trust me.
The younger generation love it, don't they, Jim?
They love it, and they know it far better than me. There's some people that believe Boston are the ones out East that can win the championship, but... they have been so inconsistent this year. And Kristaps Porzingis hurt his Achilles. They called it his calf, but I reckon it might have been his Achilles. And if he's not right...
Are they lying?
Probably. Yep. It was a non-contact injury off the ball. If he's not fit and ready to play for Boston, then they just leave too much to two blokes in Tatum and Brown. And, yeah, I just can't see anyone beating Denver. They're too good.
Good on you, Jim. Great sports update.
You're welcome, Hayes.
That was a good chat, Jimmy.
We'll take a break. Been a big first hour. On the other side, we'll talk a bit of netball, and it is the superstar herself, Nat Medhurst, to join us after this.
Text anytime 0487 736 736. Right across Western Australia. You're listening to The Run Home with Hayes and Mardo.